The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, folks. I'm overwhelmed. When's the last time you really felt overwhelmed by the presence of God? That's what He desires to do in our hearts and our lives. We've been talking about faith. Faith is like a muscle. You have to exercise it for it to grow. We started this when we explained some things about faith. Faith is when I keep on keeping on, even if I don't understand it. Noah built the ark, not even understanding what rain was going to be. Faith is that ability to continue to believe when I can't see it. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation." He couldn't see that, and yet he continued in faith. Faith is the ability to give when I don't have it. I don't know where it's coming from. God lays on my heart to do something for the church, do something for somebody else, and I'm thinking, but what do I do with my bills? And yet it's from God, so faith steps out. Faith has the ability to persist, even though you'd like to quit. We've talked about faith as it applies to our circumstances. Faith in the need of a miracle. Faith for the in-between times. We talked about faith and fear. Today we want to talk about faith and problems, because everybody has problems. There was a golfer by the name of Tommy Bolt. Tommy Bolt was a great golfer. He won a lot of tournaments. He had a couple of major character flaws. Number one, he had a volcano-type temper and could not keep it under control, which for a golfer is not a good thing. And he was prideful because he was good and he knew he was good and he wanted everybody else to know he was good. He had gone out and played in a tournament, and the first day he played in the tournament, he played awful. He couldn't accept responsibility for his own flaws. He blamed his caddy. The caddy didn't give him the right distance, didn't give him the right club suggestion, didn't tell him what the wind was going to do, didn't tell him what was over there and what was over there. And he was just so angry at the caddy that when they left the course that afternoon, Tommy Bolt said to his caddy, "Tomorrow when you show up, don't you say a word to me. I don't want you to speak to me the entire round of golf." He writes the checks, so the caddy decided that's what he'd do. Next morning they got there. Tommy Bolt teed off. And the first thing he did was hit his ball, not out of bounds, but behind a tree. He walked up there and he looked at his ball and he just instinctively said to his caddy, "You think a 5-iron will go here?" And then he said, no, I don't want you talking to me." So the caddy just stood there. He called for his club. Tommy Bolton hit that ball. It was one of those miracle shots. He hit a fade around that tree and it came up about 2 feet from the pin. And now pride took over. And he said to his caddy, he said, "Well, now you can talk to me. What do you think about that shot?" And the caddy said, "Tommy, that wasn't your golf ball." We all have problems. You guys who aren't golfers, listen to the ones who are laughing. They'll explain it to you, all right? We all have our problems. And sometimes when I have problems in my life, I feel like God's mad at me. I feel like God is angry at me. Or I've done something and I can't get back into God's graces. I'm just going to keep on having problems. But I want you to look at what Peter says in 1 Peter 4. "Don't be surprised at the painful trials you're suffering as though some strange thing were happening to you." Don't be shocked you're having problems. It's not strange, Peter says. "Those who suffer according to God's will commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." You ought to highlight or underline some way that passage that says those who suffer according to God's will. Problems are used by God in our lives. Problems are not a proclamation that God is mad at you, that God's trying to make you pay. Listen, if God wanted to make you pay, He's big enough, He can do that. But problems in our life are a way that God uses the issue to strengthen our faith. I have a problem, and I can respond to that problem in my own creative abilities, or I can face that problem with faith and learn what God has to say to me. So this morning we're going to talk about five things that God can do in our lives as a result of our problems. The very first thing, God uses problems to point me in a new direction. Proverb 20 says, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. When we become comfortable and we become settled in and all of our needs are met, it may be difficult to change. C.S. Lewis is the one who said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. When I'm going through the pain of a problem, I am sensitized. And you can get my attention pretty quickly. I think about Elijah. Elijah had been on top of Mount Carmel, battled the prophets of Baal. God revealed himself. And then Elijah slew the prophets of Baal. And one woman, Jezebel, sends him a note and says, this town's not big enough for both of us. And if you're not gone by high noon tomorrow, I'm going to kill you myself. And off Elijah goes, terrified, anxious, anxiety-ridden. God must be mad at me. God must hate me. I got a problem now. And he gets to the brook, and there's running water. And God says, lay down and get some rest. God wakes him up and says, the birds have brought you dinner. He eats. God says, go down and get some rest again. Get some water from the brook. This just goes on for several days. Now, all of his needs are met. He's content. He's happy. There's no more threat of his life. He's just kind of settled in, and he wakes up one morning, and the brook has dried up. And not only is the brook dried up, if there's no water, there's no birds coming in. They're not bringing food. And I think Elijah must have said, oh, God, what are you doing? You hate me. You forgot about me. What is going to happen to me now? And basically, God is saying to Elijah, I want you to move. I want you to go somewhere else. You've become calm and cool and complacent here, but it's time for you to move. You see, as long as you're in a comfortable situation, it's hard to change. The brook dried up so that Elijah could be directed by God to a new situation. And sometimes the brook dries up in our life. Have you ever had that happen? The brook dries up and your job ends. Or the brook dries up and a relationship ends. The brook dries up and some situation becomes a great problem. Things that were going great, all of your needs being met, and now you got a problem. It could be God saying, listen, I want you to try something new. I think about old Jonah. God came to Jonah and said, I want you to go be a missionary up to Nineveh. And Jonah booked passage to Tarshish. That'd be like God saying to me, Michael, I want you to go up to San Francisco and preach to those people. And me booking a flight to New York, far away as I could get from San Francisco. Well, God provided a little Mediterranean cruise for Jonah. Swallowed by a big fish. Spit up where? Right by Nineveh. What's God doing with that problem? He changed his direction. He said, here's where you are, but here's where you need to be. And sometimes God uses problems like that to direct us. A prodigal son comes to his daddy. Daddy, I want my money. Daddy gives him his money. He goes to the big city and he parties hardy until his money runs out and his friends run away. And he's feeding pigs in a pig pen, which is not a big job for a Jewish boy. And the Bible says he came to his senses. He came to himself. Why? Because God wanted him to be somewhere else. But he didn't come to that conclusion until he got to the pig pen. Folks, I don't know about you, but I know it's true in my life. There have been a lot of times that I wasn't willing to change until it became desperate. And God uses problems to prod us and prompt us and even promote us. So I need to be asking the question, instead of why, God, I need to ask, where is this problem leading me? Where is this problem going to lead me? Because let me tell you something, problems never leave you where they find you. They move you. The second thing, God uses problems to test me. You've heard that phrase, and I've heard the phrase, that Christians are like tea bags. You never know what's inside them until you get them in hot water. Well, Deuteronomy 8 says, the Lord God led you all the way into the desert these 40 years. People, it would have taken about 3 weeks to walk from Egypt to the land of Canaan. They took 40 years. Why? Well, look what it says. 40 years to test you to know what is in your heart. That tells me, number one, God is never in a hurry. God's got the time. You don't, but He does. I know some people who figure if they're stubborn enough and they don't do what God wants them to do, that God will finally say, well, doggone it, they're just never going to change. Let's work on something else. No. No. He's leading you out of that for a reason. And if you want to know what to do, go back to where you last did business with Him, because that's where He's going to be waiting. He doesn't just overlook it and say, oh, well, we'll let Him by. He's not some benevolent grandfather. He's your Father, and He's giving you direction. And sometimes He tests you to see what is inside of you. I think of Moses leading these children of Israel into the promised land 40 years. You read that Bible passage, at least 7 different times God tested them. And they got mad, and they got pouty, and they got whiny, and they got gripey, and they failed the test. And God said, okay, one more lap around the desert. Said what my daddy has said to me, son, when will you learn? Because God doesn't give up. He knows what's best for us. Ask the question, what does this reveal about me? What does it reveal about me? You know, in the Bible compares suffering and problems to the refiner's fire. If you're refining silver, you get that silver out of the mine and you take it to the heated furnace and you put it in that hot pot, and through the furnace and the fire, all of the waste and the rubbish and the garbage are purified. They're burned off from that silver. And if you ask a silversmith, how do you know when all of the waste is gone and it's pure silver? He'll tell you, you take it out and push a polishing cloth across it, and if you lift it up and you can see your reflection, it's pure. And that's what my Father wants to do with me sometimes. He wants to look at me and see His reflection. But I got a lot of impurities and a lot of waste and a lot of garbage that He's got to burn off before He gets a pretty good picture. So I need to ask, what is this showing me about me? What is He revealing about me that I don't need in my life? I need that burned out of there. The third thing, God uses problems to teach us. Psalm 119, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your statutes. That I might learn your statutes. Somebody said life is a school and problems are the books. You learn life as you go through the problems. I don't know why it is, but I know as I look back in my life, there are some things that I only learn by failure. I only learn them by failure. Son, I can yell louder than you. I'm amplified. When I was a kid, I don't remember it, but I know it happened. When I was a kid, one of my parents, mother or father, came to me and said, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Did I touch the stove? You betcha. You got to see for yourself, right? Think about this for a moment. There are two ways to learn God's directions in your life. Number one, and the easy, is this book. I read this book and it says, Michael, be patient. I just did an 8-week study in my Bible study class on Sunday mornings on the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, all that stuff. And it says, patience. How wonderful it would be if I had looked at that passage in Galatians 5 where it said patience. Oh, I'm supposed to be patient. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. But I don't do that. So God puts me in traffic jams. right? You don't either. Kind. Oh, well, looky here, Mary. The Bible says, be kind. Let's just be kind. Okay, we got it down. We're going to be kind. No, we don't do that. So God uses the second way to teach us to do things, circumstances. He tells me what to do in His Word, but I don't listen, just like I didn't listen to my mama when she said, don't touch the stove. Some things I have to learn by experience. And so God puts me in a situation where I've got to be kind, and I've got to be patient, and I've got to pray for somebody else. I've got to learn all these things. Now, let me ask you something. Which one of those two do you spend most of your day in? The Bible or your circumstances? Your circumstances, that's right. And so I need to read this and learn what he says, and then I need to live it out. And the problem is sometimes it's just tough for me to get the lesson. You've been burned by more than the stove, just like I have. You've been burned in relationships. You've been burned financially. You've been burned by a bad decision, a dumb move. And God uses those problems to correct us. Look what Psalm 119 says. It was the best thing that you could have, that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your law. The Living Bible says, let God train you, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children. Who ever heard of a son who was never corrected? When I'm corrected, it's proof that God loves me. Problems don't mean God hates me. Problems mean God loves me. And he's allowing this circumstance as a natural consequence of my behavior. Now listen, learn the difference in forgiveness and discipline. I've done lots of stupid things in my life. And I can go to God and say, God, I know this was wrong. I see it your way. Would you forgive me? He says, done. We're going to put it in the deepest part of the sea. We're going to put up a no fishing sign. Don't think about it anymore. We're going to separate your sin as far as the east is from the west and remember it against you no more. It's forgiven. Thank you, God. However, Michael, you're going to have to endure the circumstances. That doesn't mean I'm not forgiven. It doesn't mean God doesn't love me. It means there's a price to pay when you mess up. And I got to pay the price. Let me tell you, Mom and Daddy, you are not doing your child a favor every time you bail them out and erase the consequences of their misbehaving. You're just teaching them how to get by with it. And God loves us too much to let us do that. So I need to come back and ask this question, Lord, what do you want to teach me? Are you teaching me something about yourself? Are you teaching me about your power? Are you teaching me that you can handle any situation I bring to you? Are you teaching me that you care about me? Are you teaching me your love, that you know every detail, good, bad, and ugly in my life, but you still love me and want what's best for me? Are you teaching me grace? Are you teaching me wisdom? Are you teaching me something about me? That I'm reckless? That I'm not careful? Are you teaching me something about a weakness or a character flaw? Are you teaching me about a blind spot? You know, all of us have blind spots. A blind spot is something about your personality that hacks other people off, and you don't know it. My wife came to me one day, and she said, would you learn to shut the cabinets? I said, I shut the cabinets. She said, you do not. I said, I do too. She made me mad. So I started watching. Somebody in our house was opening cabinet doors. I had to admit, I wasn't closing cabinets. Get a glass, just leave a cabinet open. Get cereal, leave it open. I figure I was leaving it open because I was going to be back sooner or later. And I had to teach myself to close cabinets. It was a blind spot. Now, some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't have any. That's probably yours. You think you're perfect. And the person beside you right now, they got 10 of them running through their mind that you're guilty of. They'll tell you on the way home from church today. Honey, you want to know your blind spot? I'm going to talk about faith and divorce next week, all right? No, I'm not. You know what I mean. God, what do you teach me about? I've been a Christian 50 years. And I realize how dumb I am because I know a lot more about this book than I do. I don't do it. And I've learned it. And then I get all testy when I have a problem thinking, well, he just doesn't love me. Yeah, he does. God, what do you want to teach me? Sometimes he uses problems to protect us. We all need somebody to come to our defense. Remember that cartoon Nancy and Sluggo back when we were kids? Nancy and Sluggo. Sluggo was a burly, tough, bully kind of kid. Nancy was that cute little thing. Sluggo came to Nancy one day and said to her, "That new kid in our class is nothing but a big fathead." She said, "Oh, Sluggo, don't call other people names. I never call other people names." He said, "Well, I just got mad when he said you were stupid looking." She said, "What else did that big fathead have to say?" We all need a Sluggo to come in. Well, the good news is Jesus will protect you. He will use problems in your life. Look at this. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I think about King David sitting home while his army was at war. He was a great warrior. He should have been out at the battle with his army, but he's up on his rooftop looking down at Bathsheba. Invites her over, sleeps with her. She becomes pregnant. He devises a way to have her husband put to death. And then she has her child, his son. And if you read Psalm 51, you read the despair of David's disobedience. He deserved it. And then I think about Joseph. Joseph, a young man, sold into slavery by his family, bought by Potiphar, tempted and tried over and over again by Potiphar's wife, seducing him, and he won't give in. She finally, because she's embarrassed, the original Mrs. Robinson, and she says, "He raped me," and they put Joseph in prison. He didn't deserve it. David, yeah. Yeah, David. Joseph, no. Why did he have to go through that problem? Because God was protecting him. And God knew the only way to bring him to second in command of the greatest nation on the face of the world at that time was for him to do some suffering for things that he did not deserve. Now, you want to be careful when you jump on this bandwagon because we all think we're a lot more innocent than we are. And so when you have a problem, look real closely about whether you deserve it or not. But if you do, it may be that God's protecting you. If you go out tomorrow and your car won't start, instead of beating your head against the steering wheel, why not say, "God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you protecting me from?" You may not know until heaven happens, but he does protect us. We just want to jump on the pity party and feel like God hates us. No, he may. You need to ask yourself, what is being prevented by this? God knows what he's doing. And then finally, God uses problems to develop me. Romans. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. We know they're good for us. Do you believe that? We know they're good for us. They help us learn to be patient. Patience develops strength of character and helps us trust God more and more each time we use it. In other words, it strengthens my faith. You know as well as I do that a diamond in the rough is not anywhere near what is in the rings that you ladies are wearing. You have to take that diamond and you have to clean it up. And then you have to carefully chip away some pieces, and you have to grind it, and you have to do all these things before it becomes the beautiful stone that's in your ring. And God does the same with us. Now, I don't feel like I'm much prettier as an unrefined diamond than I was 50 years ago, but God's been chipping away, and he's been polishing, and he's been shaping, forming. And for a lot of people, all God needs to use is a little chisel and a hammer. For some of us, he has to use a jackhammer, and he threatens us with dynamite. And that becomes the level of the problems in our life, because my stubbornness and unwillingness to yield allows for an increase in the tools in which he uses. But he wants to make me shine. He wants me to be like Jesus. And I come back to what I said earlier. There's the easy way, the Bible. And then there's the chisel and hammer, the jackhammer, and dynamite. And God uses them both. It doesn't mean he doesn't like us. It doesn't mean he's mad at us. God just says, okay, if you're not going to learn patience when you read it in the Word, I'm going to take you to the grocery store, and every line you get in that you think is going to be shorter is going to be slower. I haven't learned that lesson yet. I still switch. Sat behind a lady the other day. It was a 15-item limit. I counted them. 33 items that woman had. And it occurs to me now that God's still teaching me patience. You know? Because I won't even go there. We need to ask the question, how can I grow from this problem? See, my problem is not my problem. My problem is how I react to my problem. Because I think it's against me. When all the time it's God saying, Michael, I want you to go in a different direction. And Michael, I want to show you some things about yourself. And Michael, I want to teach you some things. I want to protect you from some hurt. And I want to develop you to be more like my son. You know when a problem becomes a real problem? It's when you get a bad attitude about it. It's when you get an attitude that you lose your perspective and let go of your values and you lose your sense of humor and you begin to have that pity party and say, God, why? And he says, that's the wrong question. The question is, what? What direction? What test? What are you teaching? How are you protecting me? What are you developing in me? And when we yield to him, he grows us to be like Jesus. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. I want you to bow your heads with me right now as we pray. And I just want to walk you back through this. Think of a problem. My guess is if you don't have a problem, you just got out of one or you're headed into one. But think of a problem. And ask God right now, God, are you using this problem? Whether it's a relationship or finances or direction or a question, are you using this problem to send me in another direction? What do you want me to do? Where should I go? Do I need to back off ahead another way? And Lord, are you using this problem to reveal something to me? You're trying to show me a flaw or a weakness in my life. Lord, are you teaching me? What do you want me to learn from this? Are you protecting me? God, are you developing me? Are you trying to do something in my life in such a great way that I need to change? And I pray, Heavenly Father, in these moments, that we would be sensitive to what you're doing in our life through these problems. Don't let us walk out of here. It's easy to walk out of here right now and not reflect upon what you're saying to us. But let us reflect on what you say and make the adjustment so you don't have to bring out the dynamite. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.